Good morning. It is time for your KDK local newscast for this Tuesday morning, January 31st. I'm Steve Cole. State lawmakers and the governor have outlined their priorities for the good of the people in Colorado. But what are the people's priorities? And is everyone on the same page? Ben DeBerkland has this report.
Many of the themes emerging in the early days of the session are similar to years past, fixing the state's roads and bridges and creating more jobs. But Colorado is divided politically, and is one of the few states in the country with a split legislature. It's anyone's guess as to what will get done.
Well, after the last elections, I think that being able to get everyone to be able to communicate and find out what the priorities are is going to be what's most pressing for all of us.
Mario Pons lives in Colorado Springs. He's originally from South America and became a U.S. citizen more than 10 years ago.
It's important that knowing that not only Republicans and Democrats are the ones who have the voice now in our state, being able to listen to anyone who has an opinion.
Carbondale resident Jason White shares a similar viewpoint of state government.
It is just kind of a big political game at times. I think that they have a lot of power to have leadership to stand up for the people that they represent.
White is a planner for the Roaring Fork Transportation Authority. He says the environment is at the top of his priority list.
Water, protecting water, as far as drought goes, and keeping water on the western slope. Definitely responsible oil and gas drilling, of using the resource, yet also protecting the place where we live for the future.
The environment is also on the mind of Laura Newbert. She's a comic book artist in the town of Dolores in southwestern Colorado.
Right now I'm pretty concerned about our drought conditions and trying to make sure that, you know, there's been a lot of wildfires where we have lived. It's always concerning to make sure that, like, you know, people are safe and that that's not going to become an issue that starts destroying people's property and maybe even lives.
Other residents we heard from are most worried about roads and health care. Cornelia Carpenter lives in Aspen.
Getting mass transit from the bigger urban areas on the Front Range up to the mountains is critical. I don't think it's an option anymore. I think we have to get people out of their cars.
Stay-at-home mom Andrea Stiles lives in Cotopaxi in Fremont County. She's nervous about what's going to happen with health care when President Donald Trump talks about repealing the Affordable Care Act. She had a plan on the individual health insurance market, even though she had a lot of problems with it.
Colorado tried to do a co-op with health care, which was a really great idea in theory, but they weren't able to make it successful. And I had that insurance company. When it went out of business, there were a lot of claims that were left undealt with, and it was quite a fiasco.
Retired railway safety engineer Mark Demboski from Westcliff is most worried about the next generation and how expensive Colorado is becoming.
The lack of affordable housing for millennial-type people who can't get their down payments together and are stuck in the rental cycle, I think that's a tragedy, actually.
He wants lawmakers to come up with creative fixes.
Having loans that are maybe you have to qualify for, but could be paid back as part of the tax plan over your lifetime to get down payments together.
So just as we heard, the people we talked to are concerned about the environment, roads, health care, and the overall cost of living. Here's a few of the priorities outlined by state leaders.
We're already squeezing pretty much every penny out of our transportation revenue, but efficiencies can only get us so far.
We have a changing economy. We need to make sure everyone has tools to succeed, to be able to provide for themselves and for their families.
Well, the biggest budget challenge is the ever-increasing amount that we're having to pay on Medicaid and for the expansions. It's cutting into some of our other, what we feel are necessary functions of government.
That's Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham, Democratic House Speaker Chrisanta Duran, and Governor John Hickenlooper. Legislative leaders also say building more affordable housing and responding to changes at the federal level on issues such as energy and health care will be top concerns. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Black Hills Energy is ready to build a new natural gas compressor near Carbondale. The Bureau of Land Management gave it the green light last month. Two aging compressors already exist on the site, and this one is supposed to replace them. But Wilderness Workshop plans to appeal the BLM's decision. KDNK's Amy Haddon-Marr spoke with Peter Hart, attorney for the group, to find out why.
This is a natural gas compressor, and the Bureau of Land Management recently decided to approve this. What is your response to that?
We're looking for answers related to emissions and health and safety concerns associated with putting a new compressor on a line that services a storage facility up in the middle of the Thompson Divide, the Wolf Creek Storage Facility, which is pretty old and has a long history of, you know, incidents like fires and soil contamination over the years up there. And we've seen footage of leaky valves and substantial emissions coming off of those facilities. So we asked BLM to basically tell us what the potential impacts of a new compressor, which is actually going to be used to enable the company to put more gas into the storage facility. You know, what are the health and safety and environmental impacts that are going to result from that? And, you know, BLM didn't give us the answers that we were looking for. Actually, they basically said those questions are beyond the scope of this project, given that this compressor is going to be used to inject and withdraw gas from the storage facility. I think that it's well within the scope of their analysis to tell us what the impacts are going to be at the storage facility. So after they issued a decision, we filed a notice of appeal. And the objective there is really to get answers to these questions. I should back up a little bit and say that, you know, our questions are related to a number of incidents that have happened across the country at these aging storage facilities.
Like what?
One is Aliso Canyon, which folks have probably heard about. It's a big natural gas storage facility outside of Los Angeles where there was a huge leak in 2015. I think the single biggest point source of methane emissions in U.S. history. And it lasted for months and resulted in the evacuation of thousands of people from adjacent neighborhood Porter Ranch and really brought to light a lot of safety and health concerns as well as climate concerns related to these old natural gas storage facilities. And there have been other incidents, too. There was an incident near Hutchinson, Kansas, several years before that resulted in a couple of houses blowing up. And there was another storage facility in Texas where a big leak occurred. And so we really wanted BLM to take a hard look and basically explain to us, you know, these are the safety precautions that we require. This is how often we require the operators to go up there and monitor the facilities. You know, facilities have been replaced. You don't have to worry about that. We do integrity testing on the well bores. Those are the kinds of details that we wanted BLM to basically disclose just to alleviate concerns that we had. And, you know, BLM basically said, beyond the scope of our analysis, sorry.
So, Peter Hart, SG Interests wants to drill underneath the Wolf Creek field into the Mancos Formation, and the Black Hills Compressor Station will add more natural gas to the Wolf Creek field. Is this a concern?
Logically, it seems like drilling through a storage facility has the potential to, you know, create problems, whether it's has to do with draining the storage facility. I mean, just the activity of drilling into a pressurized storage facility seems like it has the potential to create some problems. But I'm not a petroleum engineer. I'm not a reservoir engineer, and I don't claim to be an expert on those issues. So I could just tell you as a layperson, it seems to me like there are likely some issues there. So from our perspective, this was an opportunity, and especially given the fact that the Aliso Canyon thing happened in 2015, and it basically was the impetus for a huge amount of analysis of these storage facilities and ultimately motivated some pretty significant regulatory changes and also resulted in a conclusion that, for the most part, these storage facilities were underregulated and were a risk. So given all that, and given that the fact that all of that has come to light so recently, but this was national news, it seems logical that it's something that the BLM should at least address.
That was Wilderness Workshop attorney Peter Hart. A magnitude 3.3 earthquake hit Garfield County Monday, south of Newcastle. The Post Independent reports that the tremor is the largest to strike Garfield County in the past decade, and the Silt Newcastle area's second recorded earthquake since Christmas. This comes a week after a swarm of 11 earthquakes ranging from magnitude 1.1 to 2.8 hit the Marble area. Oil and gas watchdog group Grand Valley Citizens Alliance has asked the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Coalition to take a look at the Christmas quake near Newcastle to make sure it was not induced by injection wells. High-volume injection wells used to dispose of fracking water have been linked to increases in earthquakes in Oklahoma. An aphid called Phylloxera has been detected in several western slope vineyards. Vintners will need to adapt crop selection to those that can tolerate the Phylloxera infestation, and they may have a rough go at it for a while. Chad Rich from partner station KBUT in Crested Butte reports.
Phylloxera is an aphid that attacks the roots of European grapes. And this aphid has made its way into the roots of some vines in a few Grand Valley wineries. Laura Podorf is a program manager with the Colorado Department of Agriculture who works with pests, quarantine, and exporting.
So it's a root aphid, and it causes the plants to grow in a stunted yellow leaves. The plants eventually die.
Of 15 vineyards surveyed, 4 have turned up with the Phylloxera infestation. It was first detected when a grower in Mesa County contacted a Colorado State experimental station in the county because the grapes weren't doing so well. And in November, CSU researchers discovered that it was in fact an aphid behind the poor crops. More vineyards will now need to be surveyed. Podorf says this isn't good news for the affected wineries, of which she says the Department of Agriculture has a policy of not naming individual businesses.
The vineyards and the associated wineries are just going to have to do business a little differently. They're going to lose plants. The insect will spread. There's really not a good way that we can stop it. And so they will lose plants, and they will have to figure out how to grow or what types of varieties will grow and tolerate this insect. So we can't eradicate the insect. So there will be a negative economic impact, but there will still be Colorado wine, and we will still have vineyards and wineries.
Podorf says there's no type of aphid insurance these wineries could have purchased, and prices may rise slightly for Western Slope wines as supply dips slightly. But Podorf says the price increase and the amount of time the prices increased should be pretty minimal. In the meantime, growers will need to start to move away from the European grape that is susceptible to the Phylloxera infestation or start to transition to hybrids that resist the aphid. Chad Rich, KBUT News.